Let me bring on our next guest. Our next speaker is going to be joining us here. This is Isaac Abraham. Let me bring on Isaac. There he is. Hey, Isaac. Let me see. You are on mute on this. There we go.
Myself. How you doing, Jeff? Great to see you.
So good to see you. My gosh, I haven't seen you since MVP Summit 2 years ago. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Great to be here. Super excited to be taking part in it today. Really, and I love these. They're so so enthusiastic and full of energy.
Oh yeah. Oh my gosh. And you're going to be talking about a topic that I'm really interested in. You're going to be talking about web development.
Exactly. Yeah. It's like most people don't think about that when we think about F Sharp. It's all back end and data science. But I want to show and maybe get people enthusiastic about doing web apps in F Sharp as well.
Oh my gosh. Let me bring up your screen here and I'll give you the stage. Thank you so much, Isaac.
Brilliant. Thanks, Jeff. So so modern web apps with SafeStack. So really what I want to do in the next 20, 25 minutes is just get you excited and maybe open your eyes to seeing web applications in F Sharp, something you may not think is really possible, and just really show you just how far we can take it. So what is SafeStack? Really first question. So SafeStack is what we think is the best way to write functional first web apps. So apps that take advantage of all the stuff that Scott was just showing. I was so happy he's just done his talk because it saved me so much work having to talk about some of the language constructs. But if you think about all of the stuff that he's done, and then how can we put that into the web but still using those nice things like immutable data, union types, records, and all of that. So I'm gonna jump straight in with a really quick demo, just for a minute or two, and then we'll jump back to some slides. So let's jump into my browser. So this is a web app that's hosted on Azure on the app service. So if you're using Azure already, app service is pretty much the default place that we would use web apps. And this is an app written in F Sharp. And it basically lets me search for properties that have been sold in the UK. So I can do things like type in a particular city. I can hit search. That's going off to Azure Search to actually get some results. I can do things like hitting here and doing searching and sorting and so on and so forth. I can do things like click on a button and get a modal dialog. And I've got some Google Maps integration here. Where I put a little pin on. I can close that down. I can click on a postcode. So for those of you in the US, that's like a zip code. And I can do things like show me only properties within a particular geographic radius, 20 kilometers of that one. And then I can click on map and it will show me all of those. I even get things like typing here. So here I'm typing in a zip code or postcode. And as you see the search button, if I type in an invalid postcode, I'm actually getting, as I type, some validation is happening here. So this is not actually going back to the server. This is not something like Blazor where we're going back to the back end. This is actually doing validation in the browser. And yet this entire app is in F Sharp. There is not one line of handwritten JavaScript at all on the front end, and there is no C# on the back end. So what I'm just gonna do is jump back to the slides and just talk a little bit about what is really going on there and how is that made possible. So what is SafeStack really? So the acronym is basically four things. SATAN, which is a server-side web technology that sits on top of ASP.NET Core. So if you're an ASP.NET developer today, then this is effectively exactly the same runtime, the same high performance, the same reliability, the robustness that you would expect, but with a lovely F# layer written on top of it. And the A stands for Azure, which is, can, to be honest, be anything, but we recommend Azure is like the platform services and how to host. We think it's a really good place for .NET. The F stands for Fable, which is a technology that compiles F# into JavaScript. So you can write F#, basically the standard F# that you saw Scott writing, but yet it will run in the browser. So it takes away that whole sort of fear of, I'm an F# dev, how do I write code in the browser? And then Elmish is this beautiful pattern, which I'll show you a bit more about in a minute, that is really a functional programming model for the web. So you may know MVC, or you may know MVVM if you're a WPF programmer. So Elmish is a pattern called MVU, which you may be seeing more of, to be honest, in .NET 6 with things like MAUI using it as well, which is a really nice programming model for functional first development. So why would I want to use SafeStack? So firstly, it's super productive. You can focus on F#. You don't have to worry about JavaScript in the browser. You can also share code between your browser and the server. So you can write a type once, a record, and have it emit to JavaScript in the browser, but still run as .NET on the server. So you don't have to map between the two yourself. Happens for free. And you can also write code, validation logic, like the postcode validation I showed you before. You can have that on the client and the server without you having to do anything. I think we're getting to this word fun quite a lot, as Scott sort of alluded to earlier, but it's a really enjoyable way of writing applications. Really rewards you, lets you focus on getting stuff done. It's really flexible as well. So unlike some other libraries and frameworks, Safe is not a walled garden. You can use any JavaScript library that you want out there. You can interop with it very easily. And on the server, you can use any NuGet package because F# is just .NET. So you can use any C# NuGet package as well. And it's a safe bet that that is not intended to be a play on words there, but it's really mature platforms. We're targeting .NET Core, .NET 5, backed by Microsoft. We're targeting React and JavaScript, which is so popular. You know, Facebook are helping with React. It's got commercial support. So it's a really good place to be if you want to write web apps. So just to elaborate a little bit more on that quickly. So we're taking two popular and mature platforms, ASP.NET on the server, and JavaScript and React on the client, but then we're tying them together like a thin layer on top with F#, which is simple, it's succinct, it's robust. You've heard that already a few times, but that's really what it's doing. So one small architectural diagram, and then we'll probably move on to some code in a minute. So you can think here, we've got F#, and then we have these two compilers. We've got Fable on one side, and we've got the standard F# compiler for .NET on the other side, ASP.NET Core and .NET 5, and JavaScript and React on the other side. I can put these slides online, so if you want me to go back and look at them later on, you can definitely do that. Single code base, I sort of touched on this before, but effectively we have F# code. So your types, your records, your unions, tuples, and your functions, shared validation between client and server. Then on the left hand, we've got .NET compiler, boils down to .NET. On the right hand side, Fable, which boils down to JavaScript. But your code at the top will be the same across both if you want. And you can choose which bits to share and which bits you don't want to share. So I'm going to jump into another demo now, where we'll actually do a bit more coding for a few minutes. And hopefully you can see the sort of the development experience and what that looks like. So. Just before I do that, if you're interested in finding more about the SafeStack while I'm doing this, SafeStack GitHub.io, you'll see here the full website. We've got a demo that I just showed you. You can look at the doc site. We have a huge amount of documentation, how to do features, a load of recipes for doing common tasks, all sorts of great resources there. So definitely recommend having a look at that. The last thing I wanted to show you was this Elmish pattern, which is what I'm about to show you in a second. So where I talked about MVC and MVVM and all those sorts of patterns, the MVU, or this Elmish equivalent, is really, really beautiful. And I'll show you this in practice in just a moment. But we effectively just have three components or three abstractions or things to understand. We have a data model, so the sorts of information you're capturing on your page, on your web application. We've got a view, and we have an update function. So we create a model, which is our application state, and we give it to our view function. And all it has to do is say, here's the state, what should the application look like? What should I render on the screen? Should it be a button or a list or an input text box? Should it be disabled and so on and so forth? And then we'll get events from this UI, button clicks, people typing on the keyboard, and that will then update the model with some logic, depending on the type of event that occurred. So keep that in mind when I'm showing you this, and I'll refer back to this in the coding demo. But how do I create a .NET a safe application? So thanks to .NET, we now have these things called .NET new templates. This is on NuGet, so you can go straight to NuGet and look for the safe template, and you can install it. .NET new install safe template. Once you've got that, I'll jump into VS Code now. Jeff, if this is too small, just ping me in the chat and I'll increase the font size. I'm going to say here .NET new list. And we'll get a list of all of the different templates here, one of which will be the SafeStack web app. So this is what you'll see after you install. Once you've got that, you can type .NET new safe. And this will give you a safe application out of the box. So I'm just going to restart code with that folder. We'll see what we've got here. So it's created a full stack application for me with loads of files that you don't have to really worry about. But it's all of the dependencies for the client side, NPM packages, all of the NuGet dependencies for the server. It's created me some test client libraries. I want to do unit tests. It's created me a client project for the browser. It's created me a server project for my backend. Both of these are F# projects, you'll notice. So there's no JavaScript here. The only JavaScript you'll really have to do or see is Webpack, which is a technology for those of you that aren't web developers for bundling your JavaScript application together. But everything else will simply be standard F#. So all the things that Scott's told you about, the main modeling, type safety, type inference, you'll get the best of them on both the browser and on the server. We also have another project here, which is worth just spending a minute on, which is called Shared. And this will contain any functions that are shared across the client and the server. So that might be types, that could be validation logic, that could be contracts, as I'll show you in a minute. Then we have our server, which has got ASP.NET on it, and our client side, which is doing the JavaScript work. Now, in the interest of saving time, I've already started the application up. I'll just show you what that looks like here. So let's jump on to save template. So when I hit .NET run, and that is all you have to type, .NET run, you'll get a full application that's running, which has got some logic, which is basically a to-do application to get you started. And we can type in things that we want to actually add into our to-do list. So learn all about safe. I can hit add here, and it's going to add that into the list. All right. And you'll see that we get, again, sort of validation logic, so that if I delete all the text here, I can't hit the add button because I've not typed anything. This is just using standard React components and JavaScript libraries. There's nothing bespoke in F#. We're just using F# as the programming language here. So now I'm actually going to do some actual coding, and you'll see me making some changes to this app as I go through it. So I've got my application here, and I'm just going to show you it's exactly the same as really what I just defined a moment ago. It's running here in the background. You can see at the bottom here, we've got ASP.NET listening. So this is indeed a normal ASP.NET web application. So what I would like to do, and the challenge here, is I'm going to take you through the app and how it looks, and then I'm going to add in the ability to clear all the items from the list. Nothing too drastic, but enough that you can see and get a feel for the programming model. So let's start from shared. I have a type here, a normal record, that is a to-do item. So this maps to the item that we see in the browser here. Each one of these is a to-do record. And we have what we call a contract between the client and the server. So these are the operations that I can do between the browser and the backend. So I've got two operations, get to-dos and add a to-do. So when the app starts up, it's going to call the get to return all the items. And when I hit add here, it will add it to the backend. And what's happening on the backend? So let's start at the bottom and work upwards. Here I've got the implementations. So this is the server side. What happens when I call get to dos? What happens when I call add a to do? When I call get to dos, it's going to look at this module called storage, which is just above, and return me the contents of this in-memory list. We're not using a SQL database or anything like that here. We're just using an in-memory list to start with. And when I add a to-do, it's going to do some validation. If the validation passes, it's going to then add it to that in-memory list. So nothing that if you're a .NET developer, nothing you wouldn't have seen before, really.
Hey, on the client... Can you just bump up the font size one click?
Absolutely. Let's try that.
Thank you.
Great. Thanks, Jeff. Let's jump into the client and just have a look at that. But this is where things get a bit more interesting. We've got the notion of the model that I touched on before. So I've got a list of the to-dos that I want to display and the input string. So that's the input of this content here. So I've got four items in my to-do list. and an empty string here. And then I've got some client-side messages, got to-dos. Whenever I set an input, this is a message that's going to pipe to our system, adding a to-do, what happens after we added a to-do, and so on. And then we have to use this pattern matching in F# for what to do when each of these messages get fired. So this is our update function that I touched on before, which says, given some message and an existing model, what should I do with the model? So for example, whenever we want to add a to-do, I'm going to reset the input text to empty and then go and save the to-do back on the back end. And when it comes back, I'll add that item to the list. Or if I want to get the to-dos, once I've received them from the server, I want to add that to the model and update the model. So this is using the same sort of syntax that you saw Scott talking about before with record updates and so on. And lastly, we have our view. And I'll just skim through some of this. The important thing here to see is that this is not anything apart from F# code. This is F# code, which is wrapping around an existing JavaScript library called Bulma, which is for styling, but it gives us nice strong typing here. So I can type Bulma and I get IntelliSense for all of these HTML elements and React elements. We don't have to use Bulma. I could use whatever styling library I wanted. But this is just one that comes out of the box with SafeStack. I can see things here like a button, for example. I want a button which is the primary color. It's disabled if the text is invalid. On click, I want to fire off an add to do message. And I can do things here, and I'm going to actually switch to a side-by-side view here. One of the nice things we get because we live on JavaScript is we get hot reload for free. So let's say I'm typing here, and I want to change the add to create. Save that. The browser will automatically update, and I won't lose the state. It doesn't restart the application, just carries on. So I'm going to try and add in a clear button now, try and clear the items from the application. So I'm going to start with our messages, our core domain. I'm going to add a message called clear. So when we receive this message, we have to clear all the items in the to-do list. Straight away, the compiler is going to now tell me that I've actually got to do something here. We get this warning here. Incomplete pattern matches on this expression. The value clear may indicate a case not covered by the patterns. So the compiler is actually letting me know, you've added this new case in, but you're not handling it. Please handle it. All right, I'm going to add a new handler here with a little refactoring. And now I have to know what to do with that. So in this case, I'm simply going to clear out the list of items in the to-dos. And say to-dos equals empty list. And there's no further sort of processing to happen, so no command. The last thing to do is now hook that up to our UI. That's actually relatively easy, believe it or not. I'm going to copy all this code and paste it to create a second button and side by side. And what I'll do is change the message to send the clear message when I hit this button. And I'll change the text to be clear. I'll save that. And now we've got two buttons. And let's change the color to warning while we're at it. Now we've got a warning button. Click that, items are cleared. So that's kind of the client-side loop. We've still got a few minutes left, so I'm actually going to try and go one step further and actually hook this up to the back end, because currently, if I refresh this, the app's going to go straight to the server and retrieve the items from before. So I only cleared it on the browser here, so let's actually hook up some client-server messaging. And believe it or not, I can actually do this relatively quickly. So I'm going to add in a new message to our shared contract. So this is the interface between the browser and the backend. I'm going to call it clear, which will take in nothing. So we call it unit. And it's going to return nothing as well, asynchronously. Now the server's going to break because it's going to say you haven't provided an implementation for this. Have to provide an implementation for our clear method. So let's go back here. This should break. Clear, which is going to be a function that will asynchronously simply clear out this list here. So let's try that. So save that, and hopefully that will compile. So we've got our server implementation now. Now we just have to call it from the client. And there's no need for me to worry about creating a, what route do I need to hit or anything like that. I get all of this strongly typed. So all I'm going to do is when someone hits clear, I'll make a call to the backend that says fire off clear method. And when I hit docs here, you'll see we get IntelliSense for clear. It knows now there's a new method. Hit save. Browser's updated. Hopefully now, if I hit clear over here, let's just refresh this. Now I've reset that, and every time I refresh now, it's actually done it on the back end as well. So there was no need to worry about setting up the correct routes or sharing types or making sure the JSON matched or anything. That's all taken care of for me, all out of the box. So it's just a pure F# experience across the browser and the server. Got a couple of minutes left before I want to hand back to Jeff just to see if there's any questions or any comments. So I'll just show you a couple more things. One thing we have in this that's really, really nice out of the box is, remember I mentioned Azure? So we also support Azure out of the box. So we have the ability to deploy this web app using a technology called Farmer, which uses ARM templates. So if you've used Azure and done any DevOps work with it, you'll be familiar with the notion of ARM templates. We will generate an ARM template for your web app and deploy it into Azure. You would simply have to type .NET run Azure. That will do everything for you. And just to prove that, I did this just before. Just to save time, I'll show you it now. So I'm going to jump over here, and we'll jump into Safe Template. And if you go to .NET Conf Safe, AzureWebsites.net, you will see the exact same app that I've just created running in the app service. I've done nothing else apart from write .NET run Azure. And just so you can see that it's actually really running, we've got things like App Insights hooked up. So whenever anyone hits that URL, I'll see little pop-ups here with little hits of the website. All out of the box, this is standard Azure stuff, but running with F#. We get a normal resource group, all the stuff that you would expect to see in a normal ASP.NET web app, we've also got here in Azure as well. I think that's pretty much it, what I wanted to go through. I've got a few minutes left. Jeff, we've got any questions or anything you'd like to chat about?
Hey, Isaac.
Hey.
You know what? We do have a couple of really good questions coming in from Twitter. Let me bring that up and we can take a look at some of the questions folks have. Mm-hmm. There we go. So over here, let me start with this question from Giorgio asking, is CSS easy to integrate in the Safe Stack?
Absolutely. Great question. So out of the box here, I'm actually using a CSS framework called Bulma. That you can create your own ones. There's even a special type provider, which is a feature of F#, that will let you reference CSS and get IntelliSense in F# for your CSS styles. So yes, absolutely.
Well, that's really cool to see. Has anyone managed to use F# and F# autocomplete on a Unix OS? Have you done much work with F# on a Unix-based OS?
I personally haven't, but autocomplete should actually work as far as I know, because Ionide, which is the tool that's running in VS Code to give me IntelliSense, that's actually, as far as I know, using FS autocomplete in the background.
Yeah.
So I believe that should actually work on Unix. I'd be interested if you want to give me a message, though, DM me later. Be happy to chase up with you on that one.
Very cool. Let me grab this question from Veli asking, I understand Webpack is not needed anymore, but it's there in the Safe template. Are they misunderstanding what's going on there?
No, that's absolutely right. So you can use Fable to generate your JavaScript without using Webpack. The reason why we're using Webpack in this demo is for things like the hot module reloading, hosting our application locally in a dev server environment. But you absolutely don't need Webpack if you want to do bundling yourself or not at all. Absolutely fine to do that as well.
Cool. Very cool. And Gareth has a question here. How does the Elmish model scale to multiple pages or panes?
So it's actually a relatively simple model, this kind of MVU pattern that scales simply. There's a bit of boilerplate with the default sort of model, but there are certainly extensions that you can use that will make that much more succinct as well. But you don't need to know these extra hooks to write multi-page apps. Out of the box, it works just fine. Once you grow a bit larger, you may want to invest a bit more time in learning some more tricks about how to make that a little bit more succinct.
Okay. Okay. I see a couple more questions have come in here, but I want to grab this one from Nico because this got me interested also. What is it you've got there? You had those really nice lanes for the tab indentations there. What's that extension you're using?
Yeah. So that's called Indent Rainbow. Every time I go to talk, someone asks me about that. It's super useful in F-sharp because F-sharp is in the white space sensitive. So if you accidentally do this, it will actually highlight in red. You've got the extra space there. So yeah, definitely worth doing. I know that we're not sharing the screen. I've just seen that, Jeff, don't worry. But absolutely. So Indent Rainbow, and there's another one called Rainbow Brackets, which will highlight the bracket indentations with different colors as well.
I got to imagine folks who use Python would be very interested in that, right? Because they're space sensitive as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah. There was a question here. Dimitro has a question for us. Can you point to an example of a larger application where number of messages in the front end became too much for a single file and the update function was split into a module?
Absolutely. So the example app I showed you, the safe search with the property searching, that's online. I'll send the GitHub repo onto .NET Conf hashtag, and you can have a look through that as well and see how we've done it. But there are plenty of apps on that. The Safe Docs website that I showed earlier will also have a number of applications there that are multi-page, so you can see how to do that.
Oh, very cool. Let me see here. How hard is it to change Safe to deploy to another target other than Azure if you want to use another cloud provider?
Totally fine, because it's just ultimately JavaScript and a .NET application, so any platform. We also have recipes and guides on the web, on the Safe Docs for working in Docker. So once you're in Docker, you can host it anywhere, AWS, a few other places. So yeah, totally fine.
Very cool. And I think that just about does it for the time that we have together to be able to talk through some of what's going on there. Thank you so much, Isaac. I really appreciate you joining us for
.NET Conf. Brilliant. Thanks for having me on. Take care.
All righty. You have a good one.